Here, our Lord is talking about Our Lady's life with their parents for the first 3 years. And again, Maria del Torta sees the scene. She's, of course, passing many days, see. And she says, she sees a child, she says about three. She says, a little Mary comes forward from the shady, she uses a word that describes an arbor, a pergola it's called. And it's like a grape arbor, you've seen them in some places. She is already quick and independent. Her short step is steady, and her white sandals do not stumble among the pebbles. Her graceful gait already resembles the slightly undulating step of a dove. And she is all white, like a little dove, and her linen dress reaches down to her ankles. She has in her hands poppies, cornflowers, and other flowers that grow in the cornfields, but I do not know their names. She is walking, and when she's near her mother, she starts running, shouting joyfully, and like a little dove, she ends her flight against her mother's knees. She has opened them to receive her, and has put her needlework aside so that she would not get pricked, and has opened her arms to embrace her. And now Our Lady presents the flowers to her mother as a gift. But in doing so, she explains the meaning of each flower. She talks about the blue ones. There are some others, the pale blue. She describes them in ways that are poetic. And then she talks about one flower, a white flower. And she gives it a meaning, and she says, I want to be always like this flower. And like the wise king, I want to sing throughout my life canticles and prayers before the tabernacle. And after describing that all, like an adult, and her mother looks at her, she says, how do you know these holy things, my darling? Who told you? Your father? And then Our Lady said, no, I don't know who it is. I think I have always known them. Perhaps there is one who tells me, and I do not see him. Perhaps one of the angels that God sends to speak to good people, Mummy. Will you? Then she passes on to something else, as if it were part of her inner life. And she says, Mommy, tell me another story. Now, this is her inner life. Now, this tells us quite a bit about her holiness, how near to God she was, and how normal it was for her. And she thought everybody more or less understood. See? Now, she's talking, too, about the temple, and God is already preparing her for the conception of Jesus long before. In other words, he's leading her to long for the Messiah and to pray for the Messiah, see? And this is what comes in these early years, and especially while she's in the temple. They're talking about, in other words, when the Christ would come, and the book of Daniel gave a certain time. There was supposed to be 70 weeks, also a period of 30 years. And this is what she's asking her mother. How long will it be before we have the Emmanuel? And Anne says, about 30 years, my darling. Such a long time, Mary says, and I shall be in the temple. Tell me if I should pray very hard, so hard, day and night, night and day, and I want it to be long only to God for all my life for this purpose. Would the Eternal Father grant me the grace of sending the Messiah to his people sooner? And Jesus later on revealed that I came sooner than God had planned because of Mary's prayer. See, that was later on when he talked to the apostles. So then Our Lady says, then I will pray, and I shall be a virgin for this. But do you know what that means? Now here again, the mother's talking to a three-year-old child. Do you know what a virgin, what it means to be a virgin? Now this is what she's quoting Our Lady as saying. Our Lady says here at three, it means that one does not know human love, but only the love of God. It means that one has no other thought but for the Lord. It means to remain children in the flesh and angels in the heart. How about that? As a description. It means that one has no eyes but to look at God, and ears to listen to Him, and a mouth to praise Him, hands to offer oneself as a victim, feet to follow Him fast, and a heart and a life to give to Him. Well, that's worthy of any adult. And not any adult either. I mean, a holy person. And so Anne says, may God bless you. But then, you will never have any children, and yet you love babies and little lambs and doves so much. Do you know that? A baby is for his mother like a little white and curly lamb. And he's like a little dove with silk feathers and a coral mouth to be loved and kissed and heard say, Mummy. And then Mary says, it doesn't matter. I shall belong to God. I shall pray in the temple, and perhaps one day I will see the Emmanuel. The virgin who is to be his mother must be already born, as the great prophet says, and she's in the temple. I will be her companion. And look how God is putting words in her mouth. And remember, though, and this may be the point where we need to talk about, well, I think we'll wait until Jesus says that. That's later on. Our Lady here is expressing her wish to be of some service to the mother of the Messiah, and that she would be in the temple. So she said, you can see that I must be a virgin. I must. If he wants a virgin as his mother, it means that he loves virginity above all things. I want him to love me, his maiden, because of the virginity which will make me somewhat like his beloved mother. This is what I want. I would also like to be a sinner. Now, that's strange. A big sinner, she says. If I were not afraid of offending the Lord. Tell me, Mommy, can one be a sinner out of love of God? And then the mother is amazed. She says, but what are you saying, my dear? I don't understand you. I mean, to commit a sin in order to be loved by God. Who becomes the Savior? Who is lost? Who is saved? Isn't that so? I would like to be saved by the Savior, to receive his loving look. That is why I would like to sin, but not to commit sin that would disgust him. How can he save me if I do not get lost? Notice there's still the child there, but there's an intelligence that's beyond our own. Notice? This also tells you how God combined things within Jesus. Childlike, and yet God. See? He still played with the little toys that Joseph made for him. So then Joachim is listening to this. Anne is dumbfounded. She doesn't know what to say to that. Then Joachim comes by, and he comes by very noiselessly, and he says to Our Lady, he has saved you beforehand, because he knows that you love him, and you want to love him only, so you are already redeemed, and you can be a virgin as you wish. And that was the answer. So, in other words, God provided the answer through Joachim. Well, the question then, why would God take a child of three to the temple and take away from parents who waited all their life, you know? And surely that must have been the greatest trial of all their life. And yet he programmed them, in a sense, I shouldn't say programmed them, he inspired them to follow the plan. Now Jesus is explaining then, he's saying why. He says, I can already hear the comments of the doctors with captious objections, you know, like theologians and so-called learned. And they would say, how can a little girl not yet 3 years old speak in this way? It's an exaggeration. Unquote, he's saying that. So then Jesus continues, and they do not consider that they make a monster of me by ascribing adult actions to my own childhood. In other words, if they disallow that for a lady, yet they allow it for the Lord, then there's an inconsistency there. Intelligence is not given to everybody in the same way and at the same time. The Church has fixed the age of reason at 6 years of age, because that's the age when even a backward child can tell good from evil, at least in basically important matters. But there are children who long before that age are capable of discerning and understanding and wanting with sufficiently developed discretion. And he mentions names then. Little Imelda Lambertini, Rosa de Viterbo, Nellie Organ, Nenolina, may give you confirmation, O different doctors, to believe that my mother was able to think and speak like that. I have quoted four names at random amongst the thousands of holy children who populate my paradise after reasoning on earth as adults for possibly more or fewer years. And so the Lord says the gaps in your intelligence are natural fruits of your fall from grace and honesty. By losing grace, you banished wisdom for centuries. As a meteor, which is hidden behind masses of clouds, wisdom no longer reached you with its bright flashes, but through mist, which your prevarications, meaning the lies that are part of our nature, have rendered thicker and thicker. Then Christ came and he restored grace, the supreme gift of the love of God. But do you know how to keep this gem clear and pure? No, you do not. When you do not crush it with your individual will in sinning, you soil it with your continuous minor faults, your weaknesses, your attachments, your vice. To such attempts, even if they are not a proper marriage with the seven capital sins, vices he calls them, are a weakening of the light of grace and of its activity. And then to weaken the magnificent light of intelligence that God has given the first parents, you have centuries and centuries of corruption which exert a harmful influence on body and mind. Our genes are the product of centuries and centuries of people like us who have lived in sin, had no control, any one of the seven capital sins. We've inherited all that. But it doesn't mean we're programmed to sin. We have the grace. But Jesus is saying the purity of the insight that we could have had is clouded. We experience that in moments of renewal. How clearly you see things after a retreat where you're out of the usual environment, away from everything that could create a distraction. And now with God's grace working on you for 3 days, you see things more clearly. Now, you go back home, go back into your environment, then all the stresses, all the things that places incentives on your emotions, so forth, cloud the clarity of your vision. There is a perfect experience of what Jesus is saying here. But Jesus says, but Mary was not only the pure, the new Eve created for the joy of God, she was the super Eve, the masterpiece of the Most High. She was the full of grace, the mother of the Word in the mind of God. The miracle is not in the superintelligence shown by Mary in her childhood, as afterwards it was by me. The miracle is in containing the infinite intelligence that dwelt there within suitable bounds, so that crowds should not be startled and satanic attention should not be awakened. There are two insights that you don't know about of Our Lady. In other words, Our Lady had so much intelligence that God had to restrain it so that it wouldn't draw too much attention, and also to conceal that from Satan. Now that, it tells you a lot about the interplay that I always talked about of God and Satan in this scenario of Jesus' life manipulating. Well, not manipulating in the sense of God. He moves free agents, but Satan too. But he did not know everything. And yet, how much did he know? See? It is in the minds of a number of theologians to talk about the great temptation that Lucifer had was when God presented the Son of God as the remedy for the fall of man. And Lucifer was to worship this